Yeah, it's fully public, yeah.
This is why there's a lot of lawyers and there's a lot of judges. And then there's appellate judges and appellate judges above the appellate judges.
Participants in the conference.
Okay, we're back on the record. And we came out of a session in which Council Milks described the environment in which we're working. What we had decided is it would be appropriate for us to go back into executive session to determine the applicability of 4402.310C. So I'd like a motion to go into
executive. I'm sorry, see?
4462.
Thank you.
Okay, yep. And I'll make a motion to go into executive session for that discussion.
Okay. Again, it's 4462.310C2 that we'll be considering as far as whether it's applicable.
Yep.
Do you have a second?
Oops, sorry, I wasn't on the... Yeah, so did you hear that through his mic?
I think I did.
Okay.
Okay, is there a second?
Second, that is Rex.
Okay. Sarah, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thank you. Glenn?
Yes.
Charlie?
Yes.
Yes.
And I vote yes. Okay. Would you take us back into executive session?
Participants in the conference.
Okay, we are out of executive session and we have not brought a motion forward out of that session. What's the pleasure of the board?
Motion to re-enter executive session for discussion of personnel matters with Director McConnell.
Okay.
Sorry? Oh, sorry. Motion to re-enter executive session for discussion of personnel matters with Director McConnell.
That's been seconded.
I second.
Thank you. Okay, we need a vote on that. Sarah?
Yeah.
Glenn?
Yes.
Charlie?
Yes.
And Rex?
Yes.
I vote yes. Okay. Sorry, guys. You're out of here.
So, Mr. Chair, just to be clear, if you're going into executive session to discuss personnel matters with Director McConnell, have you informed, or are you going to now inform Director McConnell that she has the ability to insist that that discussion be on the record?
You gave us the advice. We're following your advice. We're fine. Thank you.
And to be clear for the record, I gave you that advice, but I didn't hear that that information being conveyed to Ms. McConnell.
Understood. We're in executive session.
Mr. Chair, I would like this matter to be on the record.
Are you sure it's about you?
I thought you just said it was a personnel matter relating to me.
It was, we needed to discuss a personnel matter with you.
Mr. Chair, then my advice, I will amend my advice to say whoever the person is that's the subject of the personnel matter, I mean, the implication is if you're citing that one section of the Administrative Procedure Act that we've discussed before, and if it's something that tends to impact or impinge the character or reputation of a person, then whoever that person is, and it might not be Ms. McConnell, I don't know, whoever that person is needs to be advised that they can have that discussion on the record.
Thank you, Harriet.
Through the chair?
Yes.
I think it'd be appropriate, based on span of control, to, in the nature of this topic, to direct the concern towards Director McConnell at this moment for clarity purposes, and then we can vet that out as we move forward, in fairness to her.
Well, let's not implement the executive session that we just voted on, and let's begin with the discussion of our concerns. I'd like to ask Rex to articulate that.
Through the chair.
Please.
Director McConnell, that you know of in the past month, month and a half or so, has AMCO staff made any additional efforts to access criminal history information channels through state or federal agencies beyond specific criminal investigations? In other words, has AMCO tried to establish further access to criminal history information beyond what historically was accessed through DPS?
Through the chair, Mr. Leith, my awareness of my staff requesting information that we used to get through ARMS or APSIN has been limited to making specific requests to specified individuals at the Department of Public Safety that we have been directed to work with for the purposes of investigations. I do not think they have always necessarily been, I'm not positive whether they have always been criminal or civil investigations. But if I could clarify, I am not aware of anything different happening in the past month to month and a half than has been happening since January when we first established this procedure to make requests specifically to Lieutenant Shuey and Captain Loudon.
Through the chair. Director McConnell, are you familiar or have you heard the term or familiar with that criminal history information moves through not just the Department of Public Safety but also through the FBI?
I understand that APSIN is a connection to NCIC. I'm going to get the acronyms probably wrong, which is the National Criminal Information Center, which I understand is run by the FBI. So, yes, I understand that.
And Director McConnell, do you know, have any staff members in your office made attempts to try to investigate or research your office's access to NCIC or the FBI, specifically your FBI ORI number?
I was asked recently about some number. I don't remember if it was an ORI number that we were told we needed. Why were we told we needed it? I don't recollect why we were told we were needed it, but I was asked, does anybody know what this number is? And again, I couldn't swear it was an ORI number. I could check my email if you would like me to. Yes.
Through the chair, would you be able to check that now?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I was asked, both myself and our admin officer were asked by Chief Holscher, does anyone have our ORI number at their fingertips? I asked him, what does ORI stand for? Because I didn't know what that was. And he said, originating agency identifier. And I said that I don't have it. And I recall asking him, Chief Holscher, in person, why we needed that. And I just don't recall his explanation, but it was, it didn't appear to be anything nefarious. It didn't seem to be about directly contacting the FBI that I recall.
Okay, through the chair. Is it normal for your staff to communicate with the FBI?
No.
Did it cross your mind that that might have to do with criminal history information?
No. When I asked him why we needed it, I thought it had something, I don't remember, but I don't think that it had anything to do with criminal history information.
Okay. And I guess at this point, just to continue, at any point, if you want to step in executive session, we can. If you want to continue in public forum, we can do that.
Thank you. I'm fine continuing in the public forum.
So as the director of AMCO, you've mentioned it as well, that you're in charge of enforcement, correct?
Correct.
And being in charge of enforcement and having an enforcement division under you, you're responsible for the actions taken by your enforcement office, correct?
Correct.
We've had conversations on the record about seeking criminal history information through the Department of Public Safety.
Correct.
In the past. And did you at any time think that possibly your staff was trying to circumvent that criminal history access and try to establish their own communication for criminal history information for your office?
No.
So having this conversation, does it pique your interest why your staff was asking about your FBI ORI number?
Yeah, but I don't remember the explanation, but I did request an explanation from Mr. Holscher, and I was satisfied with whatever it was. Obviously it was so non, it didn't raise any red flags because I have forgotten what it was. Honestly, my recollection was someone is requiring us in order to do this thing that is part of our job, and nobody knew what the ORI number was, and so we were having trouble doing whatever it was where we were being required to give the number. But I don't remember exactly what it was that they were trying to do, but it didn't raise any red flags with me at the time. Certainly now I'm wishing I remembered.
Through the chair. So this next, I could make some additional comments right now, but because some of the comments pertain to agencies outside the Department of Public Safety, I don't think I want to go on record publicly with that information, but I do think there is something we need to speak about. And if someone's concerned about that being an executive session, by all means, I'd be glad to explain that later, but I think it's not appropriate to make any further comment on specifics when it comes to criminal history information on public record. The state of Alaska, they manage and they are a representative in the National Criminal Information Sharing Network, but I can't speak for Department of Public Safety right now, and I can't speak beyond that. But anything further we speak about, I think in fairness would have to be out of public hearing for now in executive session.
Sorry, through the chair. So we're technically not in executive session right now. This is still we're public open, but I'm going to make a motion to go into executive session to discuss a non-personnel matter, at which point we can share this information and then come back out of executive session back into a public meeting. So motion to go into executive session to discuss a the non-personnel related matter that Mr. Leith is referring to.
And through the chair, I would just request that Mr. Brady cite the section in the Open Meetings Act that pertains to the purpose for the executive session. There are four choices.
Okay, so I'll refresh my memory on, you'd given me the primer before through the chair.
Thank you for that invitation through the chair. The first is matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the agency. And in this regard, a possibility of some effect in the future is not sufficient. The second is the subject that we were discussing earlier, subjects that tend to affect the reputation or character of an individual. Third choice is matters which by law are required to be kept confidential. And the fourth is a consideration of certain government records that by law are not subject to public disclosure.
Okay. It would be, through the chair, it would be reason three.
Matters by law that are required to be confidential?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and for the record, that is Alaska Statute 4462.310(c)(1)(c).
That's what I thought.
Yep. So that's the motion as corrected.
Second.
Participants in the conference.
Okay, we're out of executive session where we discussed a secure matter, and we'll continue now the discussion we were having with Erica, where she requested that this be public.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
So, through the chair, in light of the information that was discussed in executive session, there's concern with regard to how you are managing the enforcement staff and your control of them, and that gives me cause to be concerned about the effectiveness of our agency's enforcement of Title IV as we're responsible for, and I've got some concerns about the effectiveness of our agency in light of what appear to be some failures of control of enforcement staff.
Mr. Brady, can you be more specific? It's very difficult to respond to sort of generalizations.
Okay, so without getting into the area through the chair that we had gone into executive session for, so that when I'm talking about that failure to control the enforcement staff, it's in reference to that subject. And whether it's control or knowledge of, are not necessarily immaterial to, or I mean, the distinction is not necessarily totally relevant. It's all, as all actions of the staff subordinate to you are ultimately your responsibility. So, so I, without going into the detail that we came out of executive session for, that is a concern of mine, in regards to our the effectiveness of our board in enforcing Title IV. And those are my comments and observations, and it's not, you know, nothing personally directed. This is purely a mission-driven statement that gives me cause for concern as a board member. And I have some grave reservations as to how we as an agency move forward with this newfound knowledge and effectively regulating and performing our mission.
I think there needs to be a little bit more time for information on my end to be both sought out and presented to the board before any conclusions can be drawn, based on the information that was recently discussed.
Okay, to the chair, I would concur with that. That's some fairly, quite a revelation, I suppose. But it, again, at the end of the day, the actions of your staff are your responsibility.
I agree.
How do other board members feel? How do other board members feel on the issue?
Madam Director, in regards to your memorandum today, there was you were seeking direction on how to proceed with routine work inside the office, and it seemed to be based from an action we took previously. In the previous meeting, specifically the delegated licenses and de facto denials, it seemed like after we upheld and kind of reversed on ourselves based on a judge's finding, you came back to us with, you tell me how to double check this, that information is passed along. And it just seemed very, as though now as a board, we have to tell you how to treat, non-responses and how to do those checks. Is that something that we're going to have to be doing consistently for this type of action that we do? It's not a systematic problem. It seemed to be isolated, but now you want there are three bullet points on how to conduct business.
Through the chair, Mr. Cross, last year, the legislature removed a provision from Title IV that basically said the board doesn't really have a requirement to consider precedent. The statute used to say that the board could treat a similar situation differently, and that got removed. So the application of precedent has become much more important in the board's work and, of course, the staff's work. And the decision from the judge essentially created requirements for the staff and myself that are not in statute and that are not in regulation. And it created an authority in me that is not in statute and that is not in regulation that I am very uncomfortable having because I don't see where the authority for me to have that authority comes from. And so I desired to get some direction from the board about how I should be using the authority and be treating all of licensees consistently based on the decision in that situation. I can understand how you may read that as seeing it to be questions about routine processing, but I have to tell you that I disagree with that interpretation. To me, that decision really changes a lot of things for our office. And I know that, a board that meets 5 times a year and the staff that is going in to do certain activities day in and day out, there's things that I don't understand about your work and there's things that you don't understand about the work that we do in the office. So while it may have seemed routine to you, it is actually a concern that I am now responsible for helping the board to treat all licensees consistently and to implement the implications of this judge's decision. And so I was requesting the board's guidance, but I certainly don't see the need to come to the board for things that I would consider routine. So obviously we have a difference of opinion on the significance of that particular decision.
Through the chair. Director McConnell, to speak back for a moment on the criminal history information we were speaking about a few moments ago. In our minutes from our February 19th board meeting, in your director's report, you applied 2 pages of your director's report specifically to criminal justice information and Department of Public Safety and the FBI and APSIN. And you went very in-depth to that topic as to why AMCO needed to have access to that information, why you felt that your office needed more of a streamlined access to it than you do have. And then today when I asked you if you knew what a specific reference was when it came to sharing FBI information, ORI, you didn't know what that was. I will tell you, I am concerned that as a director of an agency who provides Title IV enforcement, which is one of the most important enforcement efforts in this state, we have an epidemic in this state that's destroying the state in many ways. I expect you to know what your FBI ORI number, what that means. You fought tenaciously, it's well known, to increase access to your criminal justice database or databases that you think you should have access to, and then not to know what that means today, I will tell you that's a great concern. Your job is to know what that means. Your job is to manage that criminal justice information, and not only on a civil side, but there's criminal applications to that to the state of Alaska if that's mismanaged. And so I will tell you, I was a little taken back today that you didn't know what that was. And that you had staff members inquiring about that, and you don't know about that. That's a very serious condition we have. The public, and I don't mean to speak to you personally, but to the office, the public entrusts us with the authority to regulate and manage Title IV. They expect us to be proactive with our enforcement efforts. We have a whole office set up to do just that. And our investigators, I've no doubt, they apply themselves daily to try to make this a better state for our youth and for our people of our state. But the head of their agency does not understand the details of your access to criminal justice information, but yet you can apply a lot of your director's reports to that very topic. So I just want you to know where we're coming from in our concern. It's very concerning that it appears you don't have a handle on that topic, and that's been one of your key topics you keep raising at these meetings. So I just wanted to put that on the record.
Let me put you right next to the microphone here. OK. Okay, go ahead, Sarah.
Okay. So, Erica, you know, I'm the public member on this board, the general public, and there's some feedback or something on this, so I'm trying to focus here. But, you know, one thing that I've found that's been discouraging to see as the public member is the lack of, I guess, help and attention given to the public in certain applications and things that we've denied applications or assessed fees on things based on we emailed them something and they never got it until it was late and we assessed this huge fee. Or I guess I've just been consistently surprised at the lack of wanting to help the public be successful in their you know, business. You know, we have a job, the board and you, to balance this public safety and business in Alaska. But it seems almost to me oftentimes that the board is overruling your decision on assessing late fees or denying applications based on something that seems so trivial. And it almost seems shocking to me that you would almost be so harsh when a phone call could have solved the situation, saying, well, we emailed them, or, you know, I mean, that has been discouraging to me as a public member to see that. And I would hope that the direction of the AMCO staff would be one that would be more, I guess, gracious and in extending help. And I know that oftentimes they do that. But I guess I've just been looking back over the years, year and a half that I've been on the board, and thinking how many times we've had to or take back the fees that you've assessed based on these administrative hiccups that just seem really harsh to me. And I would hope that we could move forward in a different direction.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate hearing the board's feedback. I have nothing to say at this time.
So, to clarify, we're in a sort of quasi public executive session, we're just full open. So, in the spirit of open discussion amongst my fellow directors on the record in public, as we are bound to do, do we feel like we need to take action at this moment, or allow things to mature further?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think too, for Director McConnell to get the full explanation of the request that was made, you know, that Mr. Leith referred to, you know, to get that full explanation and give the Ms. McConnell's office an opportunity to explain a situation, I think is prudent, and one that I would like to be afforded if I had an opportunity to explain myself or explain my office. So I would urge the board to not make any conclusion at this point.
I agree with what Charlie said. I think if any big decision made, we deserve to have everything in front of us as far as facts. So as the director has alluded to, if she can try to find an answer to that question, that'd be helpful.
Are you?
Happened.
Well, within the constraints of proper notice, we can get back as soon as Eric is ready to talk to us again. How much time? What would you like?
A couple weeks.
Okay. Okay, so we'll do it that way. When Erica signals she's ready, we'll send the information out to you and call a special meeting. And it can be telephonic. Sarah especially likes those.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else to come before us? In that case, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. We're adjourned.
All right, we'll see you later, Sarah. We're signing off, friend.
What time is it there?
It is.
Not there. It's Sarah's.
Oh, there?
Place.
Gosh, it's like 3 in the morning, I think. Or 2?
No, it's 1 in the morning.
Oh, 1 in the morning? Okay.